Grace, mercy, peace. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This Sunday is a kickoff for kind of an entree to the next 4 weeks as we're going to be unpacking the book of Jonah in our worship time together. Today, specifically, Jonah chapter 1. This great story in the Bible, we don't get to read it in the three-year lectionary cycle, so we're going to unpack this book here over the next month. Hope it's a blessing to you. Dear friends, fight or flight? Yeah, you got it. You know where I'm going. Fight or flight. That is the response that we can have for anything that is requested of us when we're given directions to do something. Fight. Have you felt that before? Digging in, the pulse rate going up, excitement shooting through the roof, and perhaps you get tunnel vision. Everything else goes on the side, and you become very focused on the directions that you have been given. That describes fight. Then there is flight. That happens when you get maybe apathetic or disinterested or shut off from engaging in something. Or if it gets really intense, flight means escaping and going in the opposite direction than what you've been asked to do. That's flight. Now, friends, God says to us a clear command in his word through Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 28. Go. It's direction. Go into all nations, baptizing and teaching. And to put that into today's modern vernacular, this is what Jesus is talking about, really. It's a participle there that's ongoing. Go across the street to your neighbors that you haven't seen. Go into students. Go into your classroom to that person that might be struggling as they start the year. Go into your own family to someone that's isolated and no one's talking to them, or there's a hurt from what they did last Christmas or Thanksgiving. Go, Matthew chapter 28. And with that direction that God gives, again, there's two ways to go with that. Fight, engage, or flight. As we unpack Jonah, I think this is actually a key component of this book in the Old Testament, this wonderful story that we grew up hearing and reading about and singing about. And to unpack it, we're going to look at three individuals and which are the choices they make. We're going to look at Jonah. We're going to look individually into our own hearts. And then we're going to look at God's heart. What is God's heart? First, Jonah. Jonah is asked to rise up, is the word there in the beginning of the book. Rise up, Jonah, and go to, where was it? Nineveh. What a wicked place Nineveh is. A terrible place, really. A place of great crime and difficulty. This is not a happy kind of situation. Now, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. We know that. We're very sure about that. Assyria was known for certain things. Now, Assyria was known for putting nose rings into people's noses. Anyone have a nose ring? Now, people today have nose rings. They put nose rings in for a different reason. It was through your nostrils so that you could tell that you had been conquered by the Assyrians. That's a powerful nation, country. The Assyrians also launched something that was different than any other empire. They went into nations. Not only would they plunder them, but they would take the people from that nation and disperse them throughout the world so that nation was obliterated forever. Jonah's asked to go there. Nineveh. The prophet Nahum, who was a contemporary of Jonah, a little small book in the Old Testament, he says that this city was filled with the blood from crime. There was money caused from lots of bribes, and there was deceit around every corner, Nahum says. It is a prideful place, a place that you didn't want to go. Now, picture in your mind what that is. Is that downtown Portland at about two? Yeah? About 2 in the morning? Yeah. Or is that downtown Eugene late at night? I don't know. But that's Nineveh, all right? Jonah goes, the details of the text tell us that Jonah goes to Tarshish. What is Tarshish? Think of that nice afternoon breeze on a resort on the Oregon coast. with a glass of wine and perhaps a friend right next to you, without a breeze at all in the afternoon and in a beautiful summer. That is Tarshish. We know from the prophet Isaiah that all the ships that left the harbor from Tarshish left with the greatest riches in the world. Jonah's relaxing. He's kicking up his heels. He's having fun pouring drinks and kind of relaxing in Tarshish. So you can definitely tell Jonah's response is what? Fight or flight, would you say? Flight. The word that's used here is fleeing. Now, you might say to me, hold on, Jeremy, you know what? Maybe he just accidentally just kind of took a wrong turn and ended up in Tarshish, this sort of thing. And perhaps he really didn't hear God's command, but just ended up in Tarshish. Well, let's take a look at the details of chapter 1. He is implicated deeply in fleeing and running away. Again, the Lord's command to Jonah is to rise up and go to Nineveh. The little word that's used here repeatedly in these verses is Jonah goes down. He goes down to Joppa to buy a fare. He goes, once he's on the ship, he goes down into the belly of the ship. Once he's on the ship and the storm comes, Jonah goes, he falls over into the sea and he goes down into the depths of the sea. God's saying continuously, go up to Nineveh. Jonah's going down. And it's not just that Jonah is running away from God, but see, he's financing a ship, and he's bringing other people along in his disobedience. This is how deep this gets. Today, when we buy a fare and go on a trip or a cruise ship, we're just buying a fare for ourselves. But that's not the way it worked in the ancient world. You see, when you bought a ship, you pretty much bought the sailors, you bought the ship, you pretty much had to buy the entire package as you went sailing to your destination. Jonah has purchased a ship of disobedience. Then he falls asleep. And we find out later that the Ninevites repent with his preaching. We're going to hear that in a couple of weeks. But he falls asleep. He's still indifferent. We find out at the end of the book, Jonah really thinks this. He thinks that the Ninevites are not worth it. They're not worth his time. So he flees. Flight. So there's Jonah. He chooses clearly flight. Now, how about you? God has asked you to go this year, opening up this year, to go next door to a neighbor that's hurting. Maybe it's a change in life circumstances, aging, or maybe a change, transition to college. God calls you to go in your classroom, youth, not just for yourselves, but to help someone that's hurting. God calls you to go to someone in your family that's on the outside and isolated from somebody else. How do you respond to that? Go. A couple years ago, there was a story about a cruise ship off the southern part of Mexico. Maybe you heard about this. The cruise ship was going along at a good pace on its itinerary to its next destination. On the backside of that ship, there were three vacationers who were hanging out, and the story I heard on the radio was that they were looking through a telescope on the horizon doing bird watching on this cruise. And as they were looking out through that telescope, they found another ship in distress. And they knew it was in distress because the three men on the ship were waving flags frantically. And the three vacationers on that cruise came to the conclusion, wow, we've got to do something. The motor is broken. These people are going to die and perish. They're going to die with no hope. And so they did the best thing they could. They picked up their phone in their cabin. True story. They called the cabin of that cruise ship and said, we have spotted three people behind us that are going to die if we don't turn around. And they were pretty sure when they hung up the phone they had done their duty, that the ship would turn around and help those people out. But you know what happened? It didn't turn around. The ship had an itinerary. It had a plan, a destination to go to. Drinks were poured. Lots of food was eaten. There were parties to be had. And in that moment, it was later found out, by the way, that only one person on that boat survived. Two died when they were picked up. You know, that ship could have saved lives. God asks you to go this year. And I don't think you're going to see any people that look like the Ninevites. Now, if you go to Eugene, you're going to see people that probably do have nose rings all around and that sort of thing. You may see that. And you may not see anyone that looks like they're abandoned out on a ship on the sea. But you may see someone that just has a tie on, that's a teacher at school, but who's really hurting inside. You may go around and you might see a student at your school that looks like they're getting along with everyone and they're getting A's, but really inside there's a lot of anxiety inside. You may see someone in your own family that you think everything's going well, but there's a lot of burning inside. People with hurts and harms look like everybody else. They have different political views. They have different, perhaps, outlooks on life, worldviews, this sort of thing. But they have one thing in common. They desperately need hope that God has a plan. They need hope that God has fixed that plan into perfection through his son, Jesus. Are you willing to set aside your itinerary to help? Are you willing to maybe break out of your friendships and routines to seek someone out to help them? Or are you coming to the conclusion that Jonah did in Jonah chapter 1? They're not worth it. Now, Pastor, come on, that's mean to say that. But isn't that what we do with our actions and our deeds? Their history, their behavior, their attitude. And so often in life, unfortunately, we choose flight. We choose Tarshish. We choose kicking back and relaxing. What about the heart of God? What about God? You know, there's only two people mentioned by name in the entire book of Jonah. One is Jonah. The other is God. That's it. This story is all about two people and a big nation, Assyria. Only two personal names, God and Jonah. And God says to Jonah, Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh. And God knew all those things about Nineveh. He knew that they were wicked people. In fact, in the book of Jonah, it says the evil rose up as an aroma up to God's nostril. He was sick of it. And so he'd come to the conclusion that certainly God would flee and have nothing to do with Nineveh. But later on in the story, we find out that they do repent and they turn around and they believe Jonah's preaching. Jonah falls asleep. He still thinks they're not worth it. This is not going to end well for Jonah, my friends. He is not someone to follow. But in the end of the book, it says this about God. God had compassion on the Ninevites, and he relented from bringing destruction. God has compassion on all people. All circumstances, no matter where they are or what they do. God always decides to fight for people, to bring them into his kingdom. And to make it perfectly clear, he gave us his son Jesus. Think about the time that Jesus went and met a woman at the well in John chapter 4. Jesus broke a lot of rules, a lot of boundaries. Jesus broke geographical boundaries. Jews were not supposed to go into Samaria. Jesus went around. Jesus went right into the heart of Samaria. Jesus broke religious teachings, or moral teachings. This woman had been divorced 5 times. Jesus talks to her. Jesus broke social boundaries. A man was not supposed to talk to a woman in this sort of condition. He broke rules of ethnicity. Rules. He spoke to a Samaritan. Jesus didn't think about any of those things. That's what a shepherd does. A shepherd leaves, breaks all kind of boundaries, all kind of rules to reach his sheep. And friends, you are no better than the Ninevites. You are no better than the woman at the well. And God sends his son Jesus to show compassion on you. And Jesus comes and breaks all sorts of boundaries to give you his love, mercy, and forgiveness. Every person is worth it. The Ninevites, every person in this congregation, every person in this community, every person in our families. Go. Don't sit. Don't flee. Go. It's clear. fight or flight. Jonah's answer, I'm embarrassed. It is flight, and he runs. God's answer, fight and engage no matter what. What about you? Let's pray about that this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we take to heart the story of Jonah, not as a silly story, one that, you know, that we sing about as he's in the belly of the whale, but we think about it as a challenge too for us, Lord. There are people in our lives that we'd rather not go to. We all admit that. We'd rather go to Tarshish. We'd rather go to that soft place that we can take care of ourselves. Lord, I pray that as we struggle through this year, each member of our church can have a heart to fight for people, to bring them into your kingdom, to show Jesus love and mercy for all. I thank you for that, Lord. Give us your heart, not our heart. Give us your heart for all people. Amen.